1420 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station. This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. The NTSB is sending an investigative team to Philadelphia now following this morning's fiery collapse of I-95. State officials believe a fuel tanker caused it. Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro.
The Secretary of Transportation, Pete Buttigieg, has made it clear that whatever resources would be needed to rebuild I-95 and to do so in a safe and expeditious manner would be provided to us.
But a two-mile stretch of that section of I-95 is expected to stay closed for months, and it will impact tens of thousands of drivers every day. Former President Trump's indictment is still a hot topic among Republicans, but reaction to it within the party is mixed. CBS's Wendy Gillette explains.
CBS News Elections and Surveys Director Anthony Salvanto on a new CBS News poll.
The Republican primary voter, Donald Trump, is still on top, and this hasn't changed anything.
But some Republicans are critical, including Bill Barr, who served as Attorney General under Trump.
Those documents are among the most sensitive secrets that the country has. He had no right to retain them in a way at Mar-a-Lago that anyone who really cares about national security, their stomach would churn.
That's Barr on Fox News Sunday today. In Ukraine, a counteroffensive against Russia is well underway. Yelda Kakim is with the BBC in Kyiv.
The 68th Brigade of Ukraine announced on their Facebook page that they said that they had, quote, liberated Blagodatne in Donetsk region. So this is really an area that is north of Bakhmut. And you'll know from the last few months of reporting, Bakhmut has become a focal point for the Russians.
Here at home, we're getting more details on the Unabomber's death. Here's reporter Pat Milton.
Two sources confirmed for CBS News that Ted Kaczynski, convicted terrorist known as the Unabomber, died of apparent suicide. He was found unresponsive in his cell at a federal medical facility in Butner, North Carolina.
He terrorized the U.S. with bombings for two decades. Also in North Carolina, Republicans voted to censure State Senator Tom Tillis this weekend. Tillis has been criticized for backing LGBTQ plus rights and straying from the party's platform. He worked across the aisle last year to negotiate the Respect of Marriage Act, but he's since pushed back on immigration and gun policy issues. Novak Djokovic has won his 23rd Grand Slam title, beating Casper Ruud in straight sets in the French Open final.
My team has created a good bubble around me, so we've, a great job into just staying in the present moment.
He now has the most major titles in men's tennis history.
Sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with life, electronic device, and pet health insurance.
Before new Cascade Platinum Plus, I would pre-rinse all my dishes because my old detergent just wouldn't get them clean. But now, I do dishes differently. A no pre-wash, no rewash, money-back guaranteed kind of different. Because Cascade Platinum Plus has double the grease-fighting power of Dawn built right in, with twice the scrubbing power, giving me a clean that lets me break all the dish rules. I just scrape, load, and I'm done. Yep. So clean. With Cascade Platinum Plus, I dare to dish differently.
O'Reilly. Did you know one in four car batteries is weak and needs to be replaced? O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery for free. If your battery needs to be replaced, our professional parts people can help you find the right Super Start battery for your vehicle and budget. Don't wait. Get your battery tested for free today at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation. More than 130,000 car accidents occur in Wisconsin each year. If you're in an accident and experience any injuries or losses caused by another, you may be entitled to compensation. Gingras Thompson & Wachs has over 35 years of experience in handling car accident cases. Their team of personal injury attorneys is dedicated to helping you get the justice you deserve.
All in to win, Jim West Thompson and Fox, GTWLawyers.com.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows around 42 tonight under clear skies, northerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast skies tomorrow, slight chance for scattered rain showers, daytime highs approaching 71. Overcast skies again tomorrow night, chance for scattered thunderstorms, lows level off around 50. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 62.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Director's Cut for this April 30th session. Something I don't know. That's too far away from the mic to help me with it.
So, I don't know either.
I know. We'll figure it out one of these days. Your host and program director here, James J. Maloff, with my partner in art, our head of production, Seth Habhager. Seth, the mics are on, and we are, guys, we ask the best audience in radio to welcome to the WFHR stage the legends, the lizards themselves. We have them, and not only that, everybody, they let us in their den. We're in the studio. We are live from the studio doing this. It's so much fun. We are going to have a blast doing this. Enjoying ourselves and having fun with this show. We're going to have we're going to take our time with this. We kind of decided as we were all together here talking that we're going to turn this into two parts and do this right. We're going to be able to take our time talking about the band and give you guys a good history lesson on this amazing band that has been rocking this area for decades. We're also going to be able to take some time talking about the last two albums, the connection of those albums, Jeff Weaver, number of other topics. I just want to talk to you guys too. I want to be able to ask you guys individual questions too, because you're not just this awesome team that comes together. You're all awesome individuals that came together, and I want to get into that a little bit. So first off, let's do things right. Let's have everybody introduce themselves, and we'll do this kind of round robin here. I'll start with you, because you're right next to me. That's really the only way. The only reason that it works.
Hello, I am Ben Chedick. You want some info on me? Or SSN, you know?
SSN.
3-9. No, it's okay. Play guitar, and I've been in the band. I've been here. 2 months? Yep. Been a treat.
Travis Planico, and I've been in the band. I don't have a calculator, so that's kind of, I'm not really sure.
It's a little 16, more difficult for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it 16?
I've been.
Okay. 16 years. And my SSN is 462-78-974.
Oh, that's great.
I'm Jamie Bruin. I've been in the band 15 years now. I'm not giving my social security number. It's poor already.
I'm Milo Plant. I'm a guitar player, a rhythm guitar player. And I don't do math real well, so I don't know.
34 years.
34 years. Right.
Yeah,
34.
For these next two, I don't know. We're going up there.
I forgot to say I'm the drummer too. By the way,
yeah, right.
Travis Planico, drummer.
Right up.
Mark Larson. I'm the keyboard player for this band, and I got 34 years in along with Milo, and it's been 30 of the happiest years of my life, actually.
Well said. Right on. I want to start off by not only thanking you guys for letting Seth and I in here and doing this live from here. This is the way to do this. Bringing you into our studio would be fun. Also be cramped, and I don't know if we'd be able to breathe. So this is a lot nicer, and it's a lot more fun for us, the audience, and everything. I also want to thank you guys, just period, for entertaining this area for so long. I know some of you guys haven't been in the band as long as Mark and Milo and everything. And to be able to have an opportunity to put some time on that and spend some time with you guys, it's a gift. So I appreciate all you very much for doing this. I want to do a little simple Q&A with you because I'm not a great interviewer, and that's just what I do. But also because I think it's fun for the audience. I think they're going to enjoy getting to know you guys a little bit more. Maybe some people that have been listening to you guys for years and didn't know certain things about you. So I want to start very straight up basic. And actually, Ben has been. He knows this already, So this is part of the reason why I think it's good to have you sit next to you, kind of being the first guinea pig on these questions. I mean, guest. Did I say guinea pig? We edited that out, right? Let's start right from the beginning for all of you. What was the first instrument you picked up? What was the first instrument you played? Ben, I know we've talked about this before. If you wouldn't mind.
The first instrument I played, well, in school band was trumpet. Prior to that, I did a little drum work. I think my first enjoyable instrument was guitar.
Drums. About 7 years old, I got a cheap Sears sparkly drum set.
Yeah.
Playing along with records, kid. Elvis records, actually. The live kick. Can I say ass? Kick ass?
Yeah.
The live kick ass Elvis stuff, you know, the Vegas years with Ronnie Tutt on drums. I was kind of really influenced on cool drum stuff.
My dad would be so happy right now. That's awesome. That is really cool. Huh. Record wise, did you have one of the little kid record players like a lot of us? Heck, man, I miss that thing every day. I feel like.
It was just my dad's stereo. Okay, when cool. I was home alone, I would crank it up and play along with
right
it.
Right on.
Cloudiness and just do it, but it's either an acoustic guitar or a piano at a very young age. I didn't pick up the piano. Still can't
smart,
pick up the piano.
Smart man. I could see why he's the braids. I can see that. That's smart.
You told you.
But my aunt, who was like a big sister to me, played piano and acoustic guitar. That was my first foray into a musical instrument. But formally, fourth grade, I signed up to play a viola. Not a violin, a viola, because nobody else, everybody was doing a violin. It's like, lead guitar players are a dime a dozen, violin players are a dime a dozen. Ben's looking at me like, I'm going to strangle you later. So I picked a viola, and then I learned how to read in an alto clef.
How old were you?
I was 10, 11, 12. And then I decided it would be cool to get a guitar.
My growing up, my big sports family and my dad loves music. He treated lead guitar players like they were quarterbacks. But I know the history and almost every single lead guitarist for every classic rock band you could think of and all that. And I have a lot of love for lead guitar and everything, especially sitting next to Ben, somebody I love and respect very much about that. If I'm on a desert island and I can only listen to one instrument, it's a violin. Like, there's something about a violin that just, like, it's any string, really, cello and those things, a lot of those. Something about it that hits me. I played trumpet early on in cornet. That's kind of my music history. It's pretty short, not a lot of it. But what I really wanted to do was be able to pick that up and be able to learn to play a violin. There's something about that. I respect that so much. That is so cool.
Well, and I followed suit with that in playing the bass because there were so many guitar players out there. Everybody needs a bass player. A good friend of mine at age 14 said, we need a bass player for our cover band. We're going to do a Skid Row song. All right, I'll play bass.
It seemed like to me growing up, all the artists that I really loved to listen to, I like a lot of music, but it was the guys that wrote their own stuff. It was the men and women that wrote their own stuff. Like, there was something about that. There was, there was somebody I was reading about, and they were talking about it. How it dawned on me, it's also job security. It's all, you know, it's not a bad idea. It's not a bad thing to do when it comes to this industry. Milo?
Well, my first instrument was trumpet, fourth grade, third grade, whatever, star jazz. Did that through junior in high school, and then found guitar.
Didn't you play trumpet? Didn't you play trumpet in your 20s though in a band?
Oh yeah, I did polkas, but that don't count.
Yeah, but
it counts here.
You were a touring musician, were you?
Well, yeah. I mean, the Midwest.
Yeah, you toured with polka royalty.
That's
amazing.
But
that's
you were on vinyl and 8-track before any of us.
That is really cool, man.
An opportunity.
Yeah, you can't gloss over that, Milo.
This is the trouble with interviewing Midwest. I love our people. I love us, but we will not take credit for anything. He's no better. Ben's no better. Anytime I interview him and try to get him to take any even little bit of respect, I'm like, well, I don't know. It's the other people. I can't get him to take anything. That is awesome, Milo. That is really. I didn't know that.
Yep, that was a fun gig for 4 years.
It had to have been a great early training routine.
Well, yeah. But I had already played in high school and stuff, experience.
Thank you. Mark, how about you?
I started with a Wurlitzer Theater in the living room. Because my mom was a musician. She played banjo and accordion all by ear. I think she had visions of me becoming something, which proved her wrong. But and I was about 7 years old, and it was the classic, you know, forcing me to play, doing organ lessons while the kids are out playing baseball and all that kind of stuff. It's one of those ironic things where at the time I first heard out, and then once I discovered rock and roll, and that there weren't a lot of keyboard players in that, but I was firmly into playing strictly theater organ, and then I did do a stint at the long beloved Wilburns in Wisconsin, at the piano bar. So one of those, kind of like Pete Ravel, where you put a snifter up on the bar and you play. I played all the, and ironically enough, that's where I discovered Jimmy Webb, because I was playing Glenn. You know, that sort of pop stuff, and I was too young to really realize who this guy was. He gave me my love.
Thank you, sir. That is really cool. I'm also reminded of one of my favorite sketches of that I like, Bill Murray and the Lounge Singer. Everybody! Just the thing on the table just got me thinking.
Yeah.
I can relate to getting into things. So that's why I got into radio. You know, it certainly
seldom works.
No, it never does. It never does. Does it, Milo? It never.
They can look at you through the glass if you're lucky. Hi, I'm on air.
Let's. I want to stick with you guys just for a second because you already touched on it a little bit, and we're getting into kind of the band in the beginnings of that, and even before I'm sure the Lizards or you guys are part of this and everything. And that, what is the origin story for the band? But where does the name come from? Where do the early days of that band look like?
Turn it over to me. Eh?
I didn't want to put either of you on the spot, so I'll let you guys decide.
Well, I'll let Milo correct me where needed. But
right, that's good. That's a good. One. You're out of there. Yeah.
With this particular band, it was the name actually originated to pimp Otis in the Alley. God bless them. They were playing at a little infamous blues bar in town called McNasty's. And so we figured if Otis and the Alligators was playing and we had an opportunity to play, we would be Lizards. Ha ha ha. Mm-hmm. And 34 years later, it's still with us. We actually actively tried to change our name once upon a time. It just didn't stick.
Yeah.
It was like, and so it started, you know, back in at a jam session. We were originally a lot of blues. Everybody could play it. It was Larry Stanky was on, played harp and vocals.
Kevin Stellman did most of our live gigs. That was fun. Yeah.
Great guitar player.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we got a guitar player.
Bill who?
Bill Redenzel. The infamous.
So I guess it is sort of the name is appropriate because we've been sort of chameleon like in a way.
Yes.
Because you know, we were doing a lot of Doors, and we were doing a lot of Boston rock and stuff like that. And then Bill Redenzel joined the band. He brought Ottawa and just this whole Grateful Dead catalog. So we sort of morphed a bit more into sort of a Dead band, a jam band, a little bit more Rolling Stones, The next phase was the show band. And then the next phase was the band where we decided to be true to ourselves. And that's this band.
Utah moon shine on the canyon, shine your light upon the roofs. Utah moon, won't you let your power lead me home, lead me home. Will you reveal your sweet mystery?
It's June Dairy Month. And though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Yes, okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cows' milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant, 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of her cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Join us in thanking our farmers by celebrating June Dairy Month. For the Civic Media Network, I'm Terry Barr.
Real quickly before we go too far forward, with this band doing this, especially you two doing this together, how often do you sit back and say, oh my God, we're still doing this? And enjoying it and having fun in a good way, I mean. Or maybe not always in a good way. I mean, you know, your brothers most and everything, time. Brothers fight. But you know, overall, like, do you find yourselves doing that?
Late in our careers.
Yeah. But I think we've adapted with the times. I mean, going from floor monitors to in-ear monitors to embracing the technology to, you know, this year we're not running our own sound, we're hiring it out and making things a little bit easier as time moves on.
Let's do this. You guys, when you're first starting, your first recording,
Aardvark. I bought an 8-track, one of the first digital. Did a lot of work with that.
That's cool, because I was just about to go to Travis and say about the tablets before we got going here in our pregame and everything. We were talking, and Travis was telling me about how we're away from sheets of music now. Everybody's got a tablet, and using that, everything's on there. That, it doesn't just seem cool, like, to me as Lehman. The first thing I think of is a time saver. That seems like it's a pretty good time saver, is it?
Oh, totally.
And even if this is your studio, and you're not necessarily the clock is ticking, you got a producer over there, or whatever, you still have lives, you still have other things, you know, that pull you away and that kind of stuff. So every second I imagine counts. How did that come about? The tablets, getting everybody on board with that?
I was personally sick of having a wad of papers, you know, about as thick as the Bible.
Taped to your drum.
Yeah, and I would tape them because I'm doing more singing these days, you know, so I don't have the memory capacity to just memorize, you know, a handful of songs at any given time. I'm getting better at it now with the repetition, but I saw Jamie and Mark were kind of the first guys to have tablets in this band, and they had all their stuff right in there, and I'm like, man, I gotta get something like that. So I splurged and bought an iPad and discovered this program where everybody talks together in this program. So everybody's got this program. Put a set list in for next weekend, and everybody would instantly have it on there. All the songs, every song we play, in there with lyrics and chord charts, and so it's, at any given moment we could play pretty much anything and have it at our fingertips.
How many inventions in history started with the simple "I'm frustrated with this, I'm done with it, I'm doing something else"? I can't imagine how many things were. You know, you guys have all been doing this. You've done this with multiple people and everything. So for all of you, it's got to be pretty cool to be at this point, having things this successful. Putting that much more time and ability into the music, being able to do that.
I was going to bring that up. I mean, this is kind of a hotly debated topic. And right. Had an arsenal of what? 100 songs at our fingertips that we wouldn't be playing those every single gig. And somebody at a club will say, hey, play this Stones song. Yeah, we can play that Stones song. But gosh,
what key is it?
What key is it in? You know? So it's a matter of keeping the show smoother and making it more about the music and less about struggling. And the reason why I started getting the tablet on board is I was filling in with some other bands and they'll send over a set list two weeks before a show. And it's like, okay, I could plug all of that band's material in my iPad, play a show or two with them, and then 3 months from now, when they call again, I've got three quarters of their material. I don't have to reinvent the wheel. You know? So it all...
Grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
So, I have a question for all you guys out there. Why is it that I see you hauling all kinds of stuff in your trucks? Lumber, ATVs, furniture, and everything is strapped down tight. Except you. I mean, come on, fellas. You're just as important as your buddy's blue plaid sofa. Buckle up.
Pickups rock. They also roll. Buckle up in your truck and arrive alive. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows around 42, tonight under clear skies, northerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast skies, tomorrow, slight chance for scattered rain showers, daytime highs approaching 71. Overcast skies again, tomorrow night, chance for scattered thunderstorms, lows level off around 50. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 62.
I want to get into now with you two. I know we've already kind of discussed this, why you guys are in this band. I'd like to ask the rest of you what it was to join the Lizards, why you want to be a part of this band, work with these guys, and be a part of this. I get to actually ask that question to the newest member, really, and start with you. Ben, with the 9,442 bands that you all already in, first, how have enough time to do all this and while looking so dang good. But also, more importantly, why did you want to be a part of the Lizards?
First of all, it's 9,443 because James, you and I are starting a band. you know, for the longest time, you know, I've seen the Lizards out playing and I've just enjoyed the music they play, not only their covers, but noticing their songwriting, excellent out of this world, and just a true honor to be part of this band of brothers, and it's so cool to be sharing the stage and the studio space with them and rocking out. Dream come true. So thank you, guys.
Thank you.
What was the question again?
Cold Fusion. What made you want to be a part of the band? What got you into the Lizards?
Okay.
All that.
I started off deeply rooted in the country scene around here. At 17, I was in a band called Whiskey River.
Yep. Oh, I didn't know that.
My dad was a guitar player in that band, and they happened to need a drummer, and I got in. So, and then I got entrenched in that for many, many, many years with playing a lot of shows, and Whiskey River morphed into Austin Healey after some member change and stuff. I was filling in with a few country bands, and I was just kind of, I don't want to say stuck in that, but entrenched in that, whereas the rock side of the area, nobody really knew me, and I was kind of getting burnt out on, country's my roots, and I love it, but I was getting burnt out on that, and I wanted to do something a little more challenging, and I started going to jams at Holly Rocks, and that's where I met Jeff Goss. He was kind of the linchpin of those back in the day, as he was later on, but got up and he was, you know, Jeff, I mean, he's very extroverted and he wants to talk to everybody. And, and he, I'm always, believe it or not, I'm kind of a shy, introverted person in public. And, but he, encouraged me, didn't have any idea who I was, but yeah, get up here and play. And so the story he always told was, all I remember is when I first met Travis, he was behind the drums. I'd turn around and I asked him to play a shuffle beat. And Travis goes, well, what kind of shuffle do you want? You want a New Orleans shuffle? You want a blues shuffle? Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, that's when I knew he knew what he was doing.
Right on.
So awesome. Jeff is the reason I'm in this band, because he recognized that I could play a little bit. And so you guys were looking for a fill-in. And that's when Jeff said, hey, I know this guy. I think he could fill in and do a good job. So I played with you guys at Hunchy's Roadhouse, I believe, a couple times.
Yep.
And then Jack, I'm not sure the reason Jack left the band, but he left. And then you guys asked me if I wanted the gig, and I'm like, yeah, I'd love to. So Jeff is the reason I got in the rock scene.
Looking forward to certainly diving into that more with Jeff and everything. But that's a really good story. Thank you.
But I'm a Minneapolis guy. I grew up there. Played in bands up there when I was younger. Did jazz in college, jazz bands, and a little bit after college, and then stopped playing for a while. Took a little hiatus. Had a couple of kids, and we ended up moving here to the Rapids area, and I was lost. Growing up in Minneapolis. Holly Rocks with the recliners. Recliners for a while. Tom Clawson was the drummer. But before that, I had gone out to the Hotel Mead, I don't know, a year or two before, with a friend of mine that had come to town from the city. Lizards were playing. And I remember sitting on one of the odd couches at the Mead inside, going, I want to be in this band, you know? And Milo and Mark had legendary names. Lizards, I mean, again, it's the history. And at one point, Jeff and I had to back up the train a little bit here. When Jeff lived in Madison 20-some years ago. I had met Jeff at a show, got to know him briefly. And then when Grant Meyer was retiring, called me and said, hey, do you want to come down to the Lizards Den?
Grant Meyer being
the original
bassist.
Yep. Lizard. We need some help on bass. Do you want to come down and sit in and see if it works? And you know, so I don't know how many years later, then I see Jeff again. And I've been keeping the seat warm for Grant ever since.
That is so cool. I appreciate all this so much, you guys. You're also making my job really easy, because where I want to go next is Jeff and in the next albums and everything. So thank you for setting me up like your teammates always do. I appreciate that. Before we get into that, though, I do want to just touch on a couple of other places. One of my favorite things to do is finding the different influences as people have. We are, especially as creatives, it isn't as if it's just musicians that only speak to you, and that's the only influence. Certainly family members are part of that too. I think that as an actor, I've pulled on musicians just as much as I pulled on other actors because of the music that helps me get into a character or something like that. So I know that I pull from all kinds of different places, musically or just otherwise. What are some of your earliest and favorite influences that you've had? Ben, I'll start with you.
Well, like billions of other people, I would say the Beatles or biggest influence, that band, you know, they were okay. It worked. But my brother Timmy was a huge influence on me. He taught me my first chords on guitar, and I thank him a lot for sending me on that route.
That's a hard one.
Yeah.
Because there's so many. I'm a sponge when it comes to that stuff. You know, that's cool. Oh, I like that. As you know, it's like a scatterbrain thing for me. I guess it's more like phases for me. Like I have phases. Like when I was young, the Elvis phase with Ronnie Todd on the drums, and my dad was a country guy, so naturally country stuff for me back then too. Johnny Cash, Merle Haggard, Will Jennings, George Strait, Ricky Skaggs, The Who. You know, later on, The Who, a huge Who phase, and probably still a Who phase. I love The Who. Probably my favorite phase was the 90s era with Soundgarden and Alice in Chains and that stuff spoke to me and still does.
Going to spend the next hour talking about 90s.
Yeah.
That's episode 3.
Yeah, there we go. Yes. Just hearing that and everything, it's funny because one of my favorite things about creatively is character is a person's art. And where they start here and they end up here. I think of just loosely like a Trent Reznor, a guy that I was very influenced by again in acting, even whether with his writing and his music and stuff. And they're doing the Nine Inch Nails and all that, and he's now an Oscar winner doing, you know, soundtracks for movies and everything. It's always cool to me to see where somebody starts, where they end up. We've heard plenty of people talk about the Beatles going from I Wanna Hold Your Hand to Sgt. Pepper. Do that ourselves, whether we're musicians or not. We start out with our parents' music or the music that we are handed, and kind of eventually picking our own songs and our music. One of the cooler things I've ever read about is the study of how music is a time machine. Like the stuff that we first picked when we were kids, that first album, that first song, whatever it was that we really got into, it wasn't our parents' music. We could be driving around, haven't heard it for 20 years, it comes up on the radio, you're brought right back to that time. You know, they proved it scientifically. Not a smell, there's not anything else that does that. Music does that. it's only fair and only just that we do that just as much as musicians do. That you hear other musicians want to, I don't want to play, I want to hold your hand forever. I want to do some other stuff. We also want to listen to some other stuff. We want to do other things. Jamie, how about you?
Well, I got to give a nod to my Aunt Joellen. She had musical instruments around at my grandparents' house. Musically, I mean, I'll echo Trav in that mine has gone through phases as well. But if I really think long and hard about the origins, I must have been destined to be a bass player early on because my focus was two phase, Geddy Lee of Rush, you know, and Steve Harris of Iron Maiden. You know, both very prolific bass players, also writers. And there are bass lines that I'll play today. And Roger Waters, Pink Floyd, not as prolific of a bass player as the other two guys. But I'll
play. Writer.
Yeah, yeah. I'll play, you know, I'll listen to our new album or we'll play a show and I'll rip off a bass line that I clearly stole from Steve Harris, you know, without even thinking about it. But on the other side of the spectrum, keeping songwriting, Neil Peart as a lyricist, Neil Peart as a lyricist, however you pronounce his name, another hotly debated topic, to the point where, you know, in college I needed three more credits, and I made a pitch to my English professor, let me do a paper the entire semester on musical lyrics as a form of literature, and he bought it. He said, sure. And so I picked five albums, good lyricists, and I as a result, I wrote a letter to Neil here. And about a year later, I got a postcard back from him, a personalized, handwritten postcard. And this was before his personal tragedy stopped communicating with all fans. And that's like a prized possession. He actually reacted to me writing a paper on, you know, some of his lyrics. So those, aside from phases,
think what you get on eBay for that.
That'll be cremated with me. Austin.
Right on, right on, man. Yes.
Milo, how about you? Early influences in general.
I'm pretty easy because I had a narrow influence, and that's Beatles and Badfinger. All the other stuff was great, but it wasn't a low.
It was really low. I love the Badfinger reference. And then, that's great.
Steely Dan came out. Turned me on to him, so.
My mom liked jazz a little bit, but she's more of a blues fan. My dad just classic rock in general and everything. I got into jazz really young. Miles Davis, just something about him, like, I immediately pulled me in, and I will go to the grave feeling he's the greatest, maybe creative person I've ever heard of, let alone musician or anything like that. You don't create seven different types of jazz, and have a pretty good legacy, but for as far as like bands that my dad got me into that I ended up liking more than him, Steely Dan is the biggest one. We joke about it all the time, but I was really little. He had these big columns, and anytime we'd put Steely Dan on, I'd come crawling into the room and start dancing to Peg or something like that, or whatever, Deacon Blues or any of these things, to the point now where it seems like it's almost like air in some ways, where there's certain music I have to go back to the list. Like, it just pulls me, and some of it is always like, man, I don't really have a reason necessarily why, but man, it's been too long since I heard Black Cow. I gotta listen to Black Cow. I just, for some reason,
that was the first Steely Dan song I ever heard.
Really?
Yep.
Awesome.
I'm suckered in ever since.
I'm more of a mellow guy, you know, music wise, and I think all the different likes help
us. Yes. You see where I'm going with this, Miley. Yes.
So not to butt in, but this would have been the perfect opportunity for me to say something. You ever see that movie, That Thing You Do?
Yes.
This would have been the perfect time for me to say my biggest influence was Captain Geach and the Shrimp Shack Shooters. Remember when they were being interviewed on the radio?
Yes, yes. That's
damn it. That's Ben's 9,144th
gift on that.
Mark, how about you with influences? We've already heard a little Steely Dan in there. Is that
one of them? I've been kind of going back. Back to in the year.
Good of you to pick a musician who was very laid back and not really too you know, anal about music or anything. Donald Fagen. That's really good. That's really good.
But I look back and I know one of my first albums was Huckleberry Hound and Quick Draw McGraw. It was a cartoon translation onto vinyl. That was one of my pride and joys. And then I skipped way ahead to Herman's Hermit. And then oddly enough, I went to the Woolco store in town. Picked up Led Zeppelin II. So Herman's Hermits to Led Zeppelin II. And I bought it not because I really knew a lot about the band, but the artwork looked dangerous. And so I put it on, and it was literally the. My parents had a little console stereo, but it was stereo. And I put that album on, and I sat down in front of the stereo. A whole lot of love came. And that middle part where it started to pan back and forth through the speakers, I had never heard anything like that before in my life. And I'm like, I don't know what this is, but I like it.
And you, as a synth guy, that's actually very synthy too for guitar stuff then.
Yeah, and then it was literally this epiphany. Like, I'm now a rock and roll. And then as I went through school, I went through high school in the 70s and stuff. And I did go through that phase of the virtual. So I was just blown away by that. But it was one of those things where once you get to that point as a keyboard player, kind of like, well, that, and it sounds weird, is that all there is?
Yeah.
But because I was listening to a lot of other stuff, I grew up in a family in a household that was listening to blues and stuff. So I realized that the role of a keyboard player wasn't necessarily this virtuoso. And it's really cool to be there. But I found myself really, really feeling happy being an ensemble. And my heroes kind of shifted a bit. I sing Ben Montentious. He's like the ultimate ensemble guy. It's simple. It's exactly what the song needs. Nothing more, nothing less. Take it away and the song falls apart. But it's not like Rick Wakeman doing some sort of fantastic pyrotechnic jam. Chuck Lavelle in Rolling Stones. He's a great keyboard player. But in the Stones, he's playing what has to, what needs to. So I think as I listen to more and more kinds of bands, kinds of music, it's the ensemble guys.
It's unique to hear every one of your stories and your musical influences. I know. So growing up, I'm in downtown projects in Chicago and everything, and I hear the message on the radio for the first time, and I've never heard anything like it before in hip hop. Brain, and for the rest of my life, it's a art that I will love and respect. And I mean like real hip hop. I mean like actual writing. I'm not just talking about a bass line. Somebody says one word over something. I'm talking about like Grandmaster Flash, everything from that to Tupac and to a lot of that. I got so into that, and I didn't like hair metal. I nothing against it. And part of what I love about music is it's all different kinds, and everybody can like what they like and stuff. But hair metal just was not my thing. I couldn't get it. And I kind of thought that, well, hip-hop is where my musical taste is going to be. I love jazz. I listen to that. But that's all I'm going to be into. And my family, Zeppelin is the family band for us. that's the one band that all of us agree on. You know, we can all play. We're having a get-together or something. Put any Zeppelin on, we're all right. Mm-hmm. I was early on buying albums and records, CDs, of course. And I saw physical graffiti. And my dad had every Zeppelin album, but I didn't know that one that well. I didn't remember him. Like, what's he in that name? Fine. I was like, all right, I'll grab that. And there was right away something from Insta Light that there was a rhythm there that I felt very R&B like, very, very smooth. Like, got my head bobbing. Before I knew it, I'm like bobbing my head to Jimmy Page and Bottom and all that. Like, oh, I do like rock. Oh, I am my dad's kid. Thank God. It was a relief. And it was right around that time that Nirvana, Alice in Chains, Soundgarden, Pearl Jam, all this stuff starts coming out. And that pulls me in. The Nine Inch Nails, a lot of that. I got into really early on the Clash. That was like one of the first bands that I heard that I actually thought the Clash was, I didn't know they were punk. I thought they were R&B in some ways. I thought they were that kind of stuff. I didn't know music that well. My dad told me a lot stuff about it, but it was what he knew. He didn't know that much either. It's so cool to hear how I think we could pull somebody off the street and have a similar story, that where they started with music, where they went, and what Milo was touching on before. Again, thank you, brother. Nicely done. All of this coming together, all these influences. Every one of you said that Elvis or the Beatles was your only big influence. That's cool. That's great. But I think we'd hear that in your music. One of the things I love about the Lizards is any album you pick. Time we get to see you guys live, I know I'm going to hear good music, but I don't know necessarily, I'm going to hear this or I'm going to hear that. I know I'm going to hear music. That's what I know I'm going to hear. I think that's part of what speaks to your legacy, part of why you guys have been popular for as long as you have, why this community and communities like ours love your music so much. That speaks to so many people. So many people can dig that. And I don't think you could necessarily write that on paper and say, well, this is how we're going to design our band. This is how we're going to do this. We're going to put this here and this here. It just has to happen. That's pretty cool to see.
Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.